On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Let's bring in our first guest to talk about the whole question mark about schools, because we know it has been a very hot political topic this year, particularly, or this week rather, particularly in the debate around what to do with the children with special educational needs. Let's talk to Professor Devi Sridhar, who is Professor of Global Health at the University of Edinburgh. Professor, thanks very much for joining us this morning. You're an advisor to both the English and Scottish versions of NEFET, so you'll have some interesting insights into this. Maybe there isn't a binary answer, but does the closure of schools actually inhibit the transmission of the coronavirus in any meaningful way?
Well, it's a really difficult question to answer. I mean, what we know so far, and this is for the old variant, is that the younger the child, the less they seem to transmit. So you have fewer outbreaks in preschools and nurseries than you have in primaries, than you have in secondaries, than you'd have in universities. So kind of the number of outbreaks you have and the number of transmission events seems to increase with age. And so it's not a binary of do they transmit or do they not. It's the extent to which they transmit. But in my sense, I mean, from our experience in Scotland, we've seen very few outbreaks in primaries and preschools. It seems secondaries and universities are where we're seeing much more transmission events.
So then if you're to break them down by sector, is there any benefit in closing secondary schools? Does that have any benefit in reducing the level of transmission?
Yeah, so Sage estimated that it does in terms of reducing R by 0.2 to 0.3. And so I think we have seen that teenagers are like many adults, especially 14, 15 year olds. They seem to transmit very similarly to how adults do. And so I think it does obviously help with reducing transmission, but then we need to have balance. I mean, if you really wanted to reduce transmission, you just lock everyone in their homes and do nothing, right? And so I think we have to find how do we open up enough of necessary and essential things we need to run in society while also suppressing, you know, COVID to the lowest possible levels. And that's the kind of balance we need to strike.
So if there is to be a phased reopening of schools, as our own Taoiseach here in Ireland has said that there's likely to be, who in your mind should be the people who are top of the queue to go back?
Well, I think already it's great to see schools open to key worker children and to vulnerable children. I mean, these are the children who need school as a safe zone and who need that support. Then I think you start with younger children, so primaries, preschools, and get these kids back into learning, you know, wait to see, anticipate how that manages with your numbers, and then moving on to secondaries. So for me, it's kind of a slow progression up the age gradient and at each stage, just making sure your community prevalence is low. Because what we've seen is, you know, if there are a lot of cases in the community, they'll just keep appearing in schools. And then because of our test and trace system, those bubbles of children who are exposed will be sent home. So that's not really sustainable education if you keep having cases and, you know, bubbles of children of 30 and 40 keep being sent home. So the issue is really squash your community prevalence, get it super low, and then a lot of your schools won't have cases at all and they can run quite normally.
I'd like to come back just to your order of succession there in just a couple of minutes. But that last point is an interesting one, because there seems to be some slightly muddied messaging from the Irish authorities around whether schools are safe. And continually we're told from politicians in Ireland, at least, that schools are safe. Are you saying that schools are only as safe as the communities in which they're based?
Well, I find this whole debate, are schools safe or not, a bit kind of off topic. I mean, the question is, how do we balance the benefits of education to children with harms for them being out of school, with risk to teachers and to children and to parents and families they go home to of COVID-19? And so this is kind of how I try to break it down. And we know the harms are massive of children being out of school. I mean, they're irreversible for some of the most deprived children who will never regain these years. So I think everyone agrees on the harms. And we know the benefits of getting back to school. The question is how we balance the risk. We know to children, the risk is low. We know to teachers so far that the risk seems low if community prevalence is low. And so that's really where it keeps coming back to, which is, you know, when people ask me, should I send my children to school? I say, well, look at the rates per 100,000 where you're living. Look at how many contacts your child will have in school each day. And then look at, you know, your risk at profile as a family of how bad would it be for you to have COVID-19, and kind of on these three dimensions, you can make an assessment. But in Scotland, for example, the analysis has shown from August till October, you know, 76% of schools had no cases at all, and they were running full-time in-person education. And the lesson for me is squash your numbers like we did in the summer, and actually you can have schools run pretty normally.
But for a while, we're in the situation where we are, particularly here in Ireland, where the incidence rate is still something at around 1,000 per 100,000, meaning that roughly around 1% of the public is still considered to be infected right now. You can understand how governments find themselves in a tricky situation, because you've outlined there all the factors that you might put into the mix when you're deciding whether to send children back or not. But there isn't really the discretion at a government level to decide whether individual households should send their kids back. And that's where we kind of find ourselves then at this crossroads, where we don't know whether to send every child back, because simply the community transmission is very high in some areas, still over 5,000 per 100,000. And also because you can't really make granular decisions for each family at a nationwide level.
Well, the thing I would come back to is it's easy to open schools. It's hard to keep them open. And if you have that level of community transmission, and we've also have this, you know, I've seen it in Florida, my home state as well. You have to shut the schools soon after opening them because too many kids arise who have cases, and it could be they're bringing them in from the community. But it makes it unsustainable as an educational system. So you can't really separate schools and just have them run if you have such a background of high community transmission. So I guess looking at that, I would say, how do we get those numbers low again? How do we communicate to people, you know, year in when people are tired, fatigued, unemployment is up, that actually we all have to play our part to get those numbers down in order to, you know, make sure that we can get schools back open? Because there's no point sending your child in if you get a phone call the next day that 30 kids are being sent home for 2 weeks and they go in for 2 days and they're sending 10 home for 2 weeks. That's kind of where England was getting to in December when the numbers were going up. Lots of kids were not in education. So we should be looking at how many kids can we get back into education sustainably? And the way to do that, for me, there's no way around getting your numbers low.
I'm mindful that you're not over the nitty-gritty of the Irish situation, but maybe that's actually useful because you can approach things only from a public health perspective without getting involved in the political nitty-gritty. Is there a threshold in your mind then where nationwide community transmission or nationwide incidence rates, you know, is there a threshold beyond which you can say, okay, maybe now is the right time to send kids back? You know, Ireland is at, you know, 1,000 right now per 100,000. Would in your mind you need to get that lower, or is there any kind of a threshold beyond which it's safe or unsafe?
Well, I think it's actually assessing it. It's hard to pick a particular number. I would look closer at the positivity because that's telling you how many cases you're picking up and if your test and trace is actually on top of it, which is really what you want to know. So for me, you need to get your positivity under 5%. Some of the positivity we've been seeing around the country or even in the States, 30%, 25%, that means you've basically got uncontrolled transmission because you're not able to identify most of the cases out there in the community. So what you really want to do, I think I would look at positivity as being the number and saying, is that under 5%? Can we get it down to under 3%? I mean, in the summer, I'm sure Ireland's numbers, I remember looking at them, were under 1%. Yeah. I barely had any cases at all in the summer. You're basically COVID-free almost. And so I think that's what we want to be pushing towards and expanding our testing to make sure we're catching cases and making sure people are supported to isolate. So we kind of start breaking our chains that way.
So within the last week, Ireland's positivity rate is 10.3%. And that's at a situation where, because there's such high demand for testing, that if you're an asymptomatic close contact, you're not getting referred for a test at all. So in your mind, is 10.3% a little too premature to think about the wholesale reopening?
It is quite high, I have to say. I mean, that would say to me, you know, spend another week or two, try to drive those numbers lower and then get kids back more sustainably. Because what you don't want to have is this yo-yoing of like you open schools and then 2 weeks later you have to close them, or you open schools and then you have a whole bunch of children off and you only have 60 to 70% of kids in attendance and 30 to 40% isolating. So for me, you've got to get that positivity lower and also have like a comprehensive plan of what we're going to do with this virus, because now we know there's new variants arising. We don't know how the new variants in the future are going to be in terms of how they spread or who they affect, or our vaccines. And so you kind of have to look ahead 6 to 8 months. I mean, that would be my larger message and say, how do we make sure we can keep schools open? And what does that require us to do over the next 6 to 8 months in other areas of society or public health or the economy to enable that to happen?
On the new variants, actually, it's a very sage point, because obviously Britain and now Ireland are dealing with this new faster spreading variant. There appears to be some evidence to suggest that it spreads a little more easily among children of school going age than the original driver did. Is there any research yet that takes that on board, that would examine whether the presence of this new variant might mean that schools are a slightly less safe environment than they were previously?
Yeah, so this came out in December because there was some interesting data from the south of England that showed that the rises were in younger age children before older age groups, which was a bit bizarre because we'd always seen older age groups going up and then children being kind of one of the lowest groups. So this is what kind of spooked people into saying, uh-oh, we need to look at this carefully, what's happening in schools and what's happening with children.
It would make them wonder whether it's actually being transmitted at schools and they're the vector and then people are bringing it home afterwards.
Exactly. But actually, you know, I've been working with the pediatric community and they're increasingly convinced that actually that's not the case. The way to look at it is everything else was shut but schools during the national lockdown in England. So in a way, the only place you could get the virus would be schools. So the relative contribution changed rather than the absolute contribution, if that makes sense. And so in a way, because people couldn't get infected in other places, they were possibly it was happening at schools. But for me, I don't think I've seen any clear evidence that the new variant is more transmissible in children. So I think for me right now, looking at the situation is how do we get our numbers low, get positivity under that 5%, make sure we have good line of sight over the virus, start with younger age groups, which we know are safer in terms of their transmission. You know, I think in secondaries, if you really want to get them open in high prevalence areas, you have to bring in testing to catch cases quickly and kind of work through it in a systematic way and also be just really transparent about what we know and we don't know. I think the whole debate of, you know, kids are super spreaders or it's completely safe are both false. I mean, the truth is somewhere in between.
Okay. Final question before I let you go, Devi. And I want to go back to a point that you made earlier and that you've touched on just there now again about the order in which you reopen, that you'd propose starting with the younger populations. You're obviously very mindful and you've written extensively in The Guardian about this as well, about how the impact of school closures on those who are vulnerable. And here in Ireland, there is a push to try and reopen schools, firstly for children who have special educational needs because they're regressing in the course of lockdown. And that's totally sensible. But the government's next priority after that is pupils who are sitting the Leaving Cert, which is the Irish equivalent of the A level. You're talking about kids who are in their late teens, 16, 17, 18, even 19 years old in some cases. The government wants to bring them back as the next priority because there are state exams coming up in June and it wants to try and have those sat in as traditional a manner as possible. In your mind, from a public health perspective, does that seem sensible?
Well, the thing you say about is these are balanced decisions. I mean, it reminds me of what Germany did when they opened schools because they actually started with the older age groups as well for exactly those reasons, saying, you know, children need to have their exams and need to move on. The only thing I would say is, and you have to bring in testing in some way, because we know older kids are basically mini adults. And so if you want to do that in a way that's as safe as possible, then you need to be testing children quite regularly to get them back in. But would I say it's a good idea in that kind of level of community transmission to have 50 kids in a hall with no ventilation? Probably not. That's not a good idea. So kind of thinking through, how do you do the exams? Where do you do them? How do you bring in testing and your background prevalence? I think that's the way to bring it back. But whether you choose to bring back older age groups or younger age groups, different countries have done it in different ways. And there's obviously the transmission that's important, but also obviously educational opportunities and life opportunities and job prospects. So that's a political decision, how you balance those. And no country has done it all the same way. They've each balanced it in a different way.
Okay, we will leave it there. Thanks so much for your time this morning. That's Professor Devi Shrikar, who is a professor of global public health at the University of Edinburgh. Thanks so much for your time this morning.